Betting on sports can be hard, but hiring Morgan & Morgan is easy. Morgan & Morgan is America's largest injury law firm. They have over 100 offices nationwide and more than 1,000 lawyers. Their fee is free unless they win. For more information, go to forthepeople.com/bestbets or dial pound law, pound 529 from your cell phone. That's forthepeople.com/bestbets. This is a paid advertisement.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Tuesday morning. Tune is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, however you're taking us in. We appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. It is Kelly Bidlin alongside. It's a numbers game live from Circa. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. I didn't get the last tweets you just sent me. Got them now, though.
Oh, well, we'll do those later. Oh, by the way, look, there's a cord around my thing. I was ready for the show.
Hey, we're getting used to the NASCAR changeover here in studio. Okay, Gil and I, it's been a long time since we've had shows in front of us.
We literally, yesterday, I think for a brief moment, we were like, should we go back to the D? And then we were like, no, probably not. We shouldn't do that. On the show today, Kelly, I don't know if you know this. It is Election Day 2024. Polls are open in Nevada as of, this last minute.
Yeah.
And around the nation. And again, we don't care who you vote for, but please do exercise your vote. People have died for this privilege, and it's what makes our country so great. We will talk election betting with Mac Verstandig a little later on the show, gaming attorney Drew Dinsick, I'm sure, will have something to say about that as well. In addition, his thoughts on the NFL, Will Hill, all his bets. Paul Carr with a little Champions League. Paul Carr moving the chains, coming off a 3-0 Premier League weekend.
That's right.
How about that?
Let's go. Keep it rolling. Champions League this week.
Do you know anything about that? Mel Allen this weekend. Baseball. Do you know anything about that? How about that?
Yeah, I do.
Do you?
Yeah, I do. But, it's one of those shows that I would have only seen afterward, right?
Yes, obviously. Yeah. This was a in-the-moment thing when we were kids. But YouTube, the power of YouTube.
No, right, exactly.
Okay, now it's time for this week's Twib Notes. Here's the thing. We're going to talk election as well. So twice today, and I just want to state this in advance, apolitically speaking, we're all just trying to make money, and I hope we can all be friends after this. Is that okay? Is that a good disclaimer and everything?
Absolutely.
I hope we can all be friends on this after all this. All right. Last night, Monday Night Football, Tampa Bay, Kansas City. The Chiefs win, but do not get the money. The Chiefs win in overtime, 30-24. Interesting ball game because for 2.5 quarters, it was all about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Buccaneers without their two starting wideouts, of course, Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. They still managed to play very good football. Kate Otten was a beast last night. 8 catches for 77 yards and a touchdown. But obviously, I want to talk about what happened late in this game. And, we could pick it up when it was 17-10 Tampa Bay and Kansas City halfway through the third quarter. They sort of figure it out, and they're like, you know what we're going to do? We're going to run Kareem Hunt a whole bunch. So they end up with a 12-play, 70-yard drive where Hunt had 7 carries for 47 of them. Mahomes to Perine on 3rd and goal at the 7 to tie it up at 17 apiece, 14-14 left in the ballgame. But Mahomes lands awkwardly on his left foot untouched. This was the ankle that was bothering him already, so it was never an Achilles situation. You're just like, oh, did he re-aggravate this? He had to be helped off the field. And I don't know about you, Kelly, but I started getting the texts from a couple places. It's like, oh, do we immediately bet Detroit best record? Detroit to win the, to win the Super Bowl. All these different ways to bet.
I was pulling up markets.
You were doing it yourself. And then magically, because that's the thing about, when we do our power rankings. And yesterday I was talking about, okay, well, the three best teams in whatever order you have them are Kansas City, Baltimore, and Detroit. But Kansas City is one of these where if they were to lose Patrick Mahomes, they drop to like 8 pace. I'm just making up a number.
Totally,
but
yeah.
They just drop completely, right? So during that commercial break, all these possibilities existed. Then they come back from the commercial and he's magically just jogging on the sideline.
Yeah.
Nothing happened.
I forget who was, someone else did it this past weekend too, or same thing. Immediate reaction was, okay, let me get out the phone. I mean, we complain about this enough on this show for you guys on the East Coast or whatever. Maybe you have it a lot easier and you can just pull it up on the computer real quick, but I got to get all my apps ready, right? I got to get them ready just in case I want
to
make a bet.
So you hit commercial
and I'm like, all right, sign in. And then, like you said, then we come back and he's just jogging and you're like, oh, okay.
When Nevada gets sports betting, is that on the ballot today if we get sports betting in Nevada? Because once we do, this state is going to be unbelievable.
So if you lost daylight savings time and someone had opened up gambling in this state, I'd vote whoever that person is.
Oh, by the way, being back on the East Coast and watching sports till the crack of dawn, I mean, you know, till like 1 a.m. was such a reminder of Pacific time zone still the way to go.
I don't know if I can ever do it again.
Oh, you can't. Yeah. Well, first of all, you know what I kept saying? I said, we couldn't do, sorry about this, little aside, Kelly and I forget sometimes that we're on the radio, we're just having a conversation. We couldn't do this if we were doing it on the East Coast.
No.
There's no way. There's absolutely no.
And after like 6 years of living out here, all I ever think about is how many Saturday nights in my mid-20s I was like sweating out a $100 bet on a USC football game till 1:30 in the morning. And I was like, what am I doing with my life?
USC, what a way. All right, so it's 17-17, Tampa Bay 3 and out. So Kansas City then, 15 plays, 78 yards. Mahomes to D-Hop, who was awesome yesterday in his second game with the Chiefs from 5 out. And the Chiefs lead it 24-17 with 4:17 left. By the way, D-Hop, 8 for 86, 2 touchdowns. Kelsey, 14 for 100 on 16 targets.
It's like all he looks at. All he looks at is those two guys.
How's he open all the time? Mahomes, 34 44 for 291 in the end. 3 touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked 4 times. So it's 24-17. Tampa Bay gets the ball back. With again, what did I say? 4:17 left. They go 3 and out, but then Kansas City, so they still have all 3 of their timeouts. Tampa Bay does. Kansas City goes 3 and out because Pirine drops. This is game is in the rain. Pirine drops a third down pass, which leaves Tampa Bay with 1 timeout, Kelly, and the ball at their own 29 with 2:16 left, down a score, down 7. They get it all the way to the 1 of Kansas City, and the clock is moving, and Todd Bowles decides, I'm going to use this timeout with 30 seconds left.
Yeah.
Which was gaffe number 1, because there is, I don't know about you guys, but I've never seen any evidence in all of my watching Patrick Mahomes that suggests that he can matriculate the ball down the field and score very quickly. I don't think that tape exists. So with 30 seconds, I'm like, what are you doing? Why are you using it so quickly? Like, just there's no point. Tampa Bay does get the touchdown 2 plays later.
And good on the broadcast for immediately calling it out, too.
Good on them. Yes, yeah, they were
like, what are they doing? What is he doing?
Buck and Aikman are pretty good about noticing stuff. Not so much some of the Sunday crews, but Buck and Aikman are pretty good about that. They do score Mayfield to Ryan Miller from 1 out with 27 seconds left. And Todd Bowles decides we're going to kick the extra point to tie this up, as opposed to going for 2 for the possible win or loss. I get it. You can lose 2. Now, this is not revisionist. While they were matriculating the ball down the field, I text you. I'm going to, again, on the thread with Fezzik and Felica and Will Hill and Wishnev, and I immediately text. I'm like, do you go for 2 if you score here? Wishnev immediately is like, oh, absolutely. It's not even a question. Mm-hmm. It's not even a question. And of course, Todd Bowles did not. And I've heard some folks again this morning who are like, no, it's a perfectly fine decision. I'm going to have to disagree. No, it is not. Because the only calculus you need to make in this situation is, would I rather play more football against Patrick Mahomes, right, or would I rather not? That's it. It's really that simple. This dude is just, again, he puts his cape on. Aikman used the phrase last night. And anything is possible. It's why last year, again, remember Aaron Schatz. By the way, Aaron Schatz is going to be on the show tomorrow from FTN, the creator of DVOA, for his midseason check-in. Remember last year, he had Baltimore through DVOA. He had Baltimore and San Francisco as two of not only the best team, not only the two best teams through DVOA last year, but two of the greatest teams since he's been tracking this. And we're going back to the late 70s now. Two of the top 10 teams ever. But Patrick Mahomes is a hack for the sport. I mean, hack in a bad way. I mean that he hacks the system.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter when he is involved. Someone was making the case, forgive me, I can't remember who it was on Twitter, who was saying, I think it was Scotty B, I believe it was, who said, you know, the reason that he's so short in the MVP market and nobody seems to get it is they're 8-0 because of him and only him. And I get what he's saying, and maybe that is why ultimately the stats are going to win out in a market like that, I think, with awards. But I understand the point, which is he just pollutes everything about the game, pollute in a good way here, because it just defies all logic. It doesn't matter what's going on. He figures it out. And so sure enough, Kansas City wins the toss, because that is the, you know, that's the quirk of of NFL overtimes. They win the toss, and in the regular season, if you score a touchdown first, that's it. Katie barred the door, and that's, of course, what they did. You could almost predict it, by the way. What number would you have put on when the Chiefs won the toss? It was like minus 280 something, but it might as well have had 25 zeros behind it.
What, that they were going to win, or that the Bucs were never seeing the ball again?
Either way.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and they do matriculate, and Kareem Hunt scores from 230 to 24, ball game.
I will say the, okay, part of the reason you go for two there also, we talked about other situations over the weekend. We talked about other situations during the course of the year. Fine, I might have a different answer. Like you said, it's Patrick Mahomes. The other part, I don't want to say I'll push back on what Scotty tweeted in, but it's not just Patrick Mahomes these last 2 years.
It's the defense.
You have an elite defense. You're one of the best defenses in the NFL. And I would say, from the Tampa Bay perspective, why are you doing this for both of those, right? You're going to give a chance to give Mahomes the ball back, right? Or you're going up against one of the elite defenses in the NFL without your two best wide receivers that have helped carry you through this whole entire
season.
Put
it this way. If I had said to you before the game even started, if I had said, Mr. Bowles, I have a proposition for you.
You have a chance to steal this game.
Here's your choice. You get the ball at the two-yard line to try to get it in the end zone, and you win the football game. One play to win it. Or lose it if you don't, right? Or you get to, you know, get the repercussions of whatever the coin flip results in. By the way, if it goes to Kansas City, then you play football with them over an extended period of time. I think you take the two-yard play every time.
I think so,
I don't want to play this dude.
I think so, too. You want to hear from Bowles?
Sure.
We got a little hit from him after the game talking about the decision.
Yeah. Very minor. We wanted to get it to overtime with the wet conditions on the field. We felt like we had to go in overtime instead of go for two. So we had our shots, you know, we lost the game. We went for one. We took our shots. We had our chances all game. We just lost the game. It didn't come down to that.
You know, that's all wonderful.
What is the... I'm not the first person to bring this up today. I've heard other people. What does the wet field conditions have to do with that decision?
Wet field conditions could manifest at any time.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
There's no... Todd Bowles, I will always love you because you are a Washington football team Super Bowl champion, but I'm going to go against you on that one.
And great cover.
Chiefs win, but the Bucs get the money. We'll come back. Drew Dinsick on the NFL and the election as well. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
With so many sports in action, there's no better time to put the VSiN experts to work for you. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get instant access to our daily best bets with the leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. 19 hours of live programming, power, strength, and better ratings, plus our exclusive betting splits. Start your VSiN Pro subscription today for as little as $9.99. See everything VSiN has to up your betting game. Sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSiN.com/subscribes. Gil Alexander, it is Kelly Bidlin. It is election day. It's always interesting to see all the other things that happen during election day, and you're like, oh, this was a good day to start this. One of them is the first college football.
There's several of those today.
Yeah, the first college football rankings, right? Yeah, only the last one matters, as always, but that first one comes out, it's like, oh, yeah, sure, I'm sure I'll pay attention to that. I will, but not to any lengthy degree or any deep degree. The other one is the NFL trade deadline as well. And we do have a couple trades this morning. The Lions traded for Za'Darius Smith from the Browns. They get Smith in a seventh rounder. The Lions get a fifth and sixth rounder. Za'Darius Smith might not be a big pickup for other teams, but for the Lions, that's a pretty big pickup.
Yeah.
Because you're trying to replace the depth that you lose when Aiden Hutchinson went out. So that's a nice pickup. I think he has five sacks this year in nine ball games. So that's one. And then Khalil Herbert went to the Bengals for a seventh rounder from the Bears. So they shore up their backfield. So a couple trades this morning, and Adam Schefter will be tweeting along all morning.
Yeah, interesting. It will be interesting to see who else gets moved, if anybody. Za'Darius Smith, interesting. I've always liked him, but man, it's a big change going from playing opposite of Myles Garrett, right, to kind of being the guy in Detroit, or one of the guys, at least in Detroit. I've always liked him, but what is it, third NFC North team now he'll play for?
That's right. That's right.
Vikings and Packers before.
Yeah, that is correct. Let us talk some NFL. Let us talk some election 2024 with our buddy Drew Dinsick. Of course, not the co-host of one podcast, but the co-host of two. Dinsick Classic, the deep dive, which he does with Andy Molitor. Andy Molitor with a funny tweet yesterday, which I retweeted, which is, hey, if you're not in one of these swing states, basically I'm paraphrasing. He's like, listen. I know you keep saying your vote doesn't count, but there's hundreds of millions of us betting on the popular vote. So please do your part. And of course, Drew also co-hosts the NBC Sports Bet the Edge pod with Jay Croucher. How you doing, Drewski? Courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line.
Honestly, well, and yeah, that was a. I don't think it wasn't even as jokey a tweet as it sounds like, because I think a lot of the people in our community have pretty aggressively backed Harris popular vote.
Yes.
There's a couple reasons why. Time utility of money. I'm not sure when any of the electoral votes will ultimately get graded. It's very unclear if that's if you're tying up money in those markets, if it's a week, a month, 2 months. Whereas the popular vote, I think, is more likely to get graded relatively quickly. And the other thing is, I really have a tough time believing that they are in any way, shape, or form capturing, the parts of the country that are less scrutinized from a polling standpoint with the national popular vote polls that are out there. They look very suspect to me. So I think the edge is somewhere in the 4% ballpark for Kamala in that market. And as far as polls go, and I think the probability should be somewhere in the 85-90%. So that was always a pretty good price for Harris to win the popular vote. So we'll see ultimately how things break. But that one I think was a very, very well supported position amongst those of us who take this seriously.
I am one of those that has Kamala on the popular vote, laying the juice, laying the wood, if you will, on there.
Yeah.
What was the election? Was it last one, Drew? Refresh my memory, or was it the one before? Was it 2020 or 2016, where we seemingly had to wait an eternity for these to get graded, the electoral ones?
Yeah, 2020 took a long time because there were several states where, first of all, the counting took a week, and then the legal challenges and the recounts and the fine tuning took even longer. I believe some places didn't ultimately grade 2020 until the election was certified on January 6th.
That's right.
That was a healthy wait, depending on how seriously you got involved there. It's very unclear, how long we're going to have to wait to understand who the winner is here today. But that said, I still think that this is a very, very funny, kind of unique betting opportunity. It always is. You have this very, very, long, live, open market with enormous amount of liquidity. It's moving presumably with nothing happening, right? It's not like we're watching a game and somebody scores a touchdown and you know that the odds should change. It's like some guy woke up and watched Fox News and is now doubly sure that Donald Trump is going to win. So he bets $1 million on something called Poly Market, which, some people have heard of, some people hadn't. And the price moves to 60% Trump and everybody's like, oh, wow, there's a shift. We got a shift. And it's like, that's not indicative of something material that happened. And even if you want to pin your, kind of analysis of the shifting in the price to Nate Silver's model moved. Well, Nate Silver's model moved because he tweaked the weightings of some polls, or some poll that he has highly weighted came out with a new one that showed some change. And it's like, like a lot of these polls, they're talking to a couple hundred people in a state, and they're anchoring to what those people said they did in 2020. And then trying to forecast the space of voter turnout in 2024. And it's just like, this is like gambling upon gambling upon gambling. And if you're putting like significant weight in the shift in price or, any specific polls, I think you're really doing yourself a disservice. And, I think there's realistic and reasonable likelihood that the polls have missed in either direction. And I think that there's a realistic case here that, that this is going to be a pretty kind of good lesson learned for a lot of people who are betting election markets for the first time.
Listen, man, I thought 2020, we talked about it after the 2020 election. I thought it was one of the more amazing betting case studies ever. I've said this before on the show, which is you had a bunch of folks who fashion themselves and probably are really good sports bettors who it doesn't translate to election betting. They believed that what was happening in 2020 was what had happened in 2016, And they were wrong about that. They didn't have the proper electoral college knowledge. They just went with what, oh, Florida turned again, here we go. And they ended up losing their shirts on this. To your point about the polls, and I've made this as well, we've had aggregate, you know, polls. There are things that come out that are at aggregate of almost 100 polls. And if one day there's five that lean one way or the other, it shifts that market in a way that isn't reflective of reality. Poly market, which you bring up, Drew, could be, if you believe reports, could be one really rich Trump bettor somewhere in Europe who is just mortgaging his entire life on this. So, I mean, none of that is indicative in the end.
Yeah, there's also a case that poly market could be just somebody who's doing cheap amount of influence and hype, like to get the enthusiasm up for the Republicans. Like, you know, there's some people surely on the Republican side who believe that enthusiasm matters for them. And that if their guy is winning, they're more likely to go and vote on election day. And so, hey, you can spend $5 million to run a terrible ad in a swing state, or you can spend $5 million on Polymarket to get the world to believe that there is a very high likelihood so that there's, you know, broad enthusiasm for your candidate. I'd believe it.
Yeah.
I also would like anyone to tell me that there's for sure not someone out there donating $10 million to the, you know, Harris campaign and then turning around and betting $10 million on Trump just in case so that they are at worst case break even, right? Like, you know, and I'd say this with a little bit of tongue in cheek, but like, there will be billions of dollars swung in the business world based on government contracts for, you know, different entities. And like, now that there is a fundamental way to cover your bases by, you know, making bets on certain aspects, it seems kind of absurd to me that, you know, people aren't using that as a way to hedge. You guys probably have heard these kind of stories before, but you know that, like, if you're a ticket broker and you have tickets for Game 6 of the World Series in LA, right? And if you know that you're going to get a markup on the sale of those tickets, that's going to give you, you know, it's going to be a $200,000 windfall. Well, guess what? Go down to Circa and bet $100,000 that the Dodgers are going to win game five, or else you're out $200,000. Like, that is a straight up loss. And so, like, you'll hear those stories where, like, oh man, BetterX just showed up at Circa. You just bet $100,000 on the Dodgers. Like, oh, you know something. Yeah, he knows he's going to lose $200,000 if there's no game six. Like, that's like, there's a lot of funny kind of machinations like that. And I don't know. I just think this particular election cycle has been fascinating because the polling has been so consolidated in terms of saying the same thing across the polls. And, you know, the reason is the methodology changed super aggressively from 2020 to 2024. And, you know, the pattern bettors who are like, hey, they missed on Trump in 2016. They missed on 2020. They're going to miss on him again. Like, that may be very, very wrong this year.
Right now, former President Trump, -165. Consensus to win the election, Kamala Harris, the vice president, +135 on the comeback. As far as the popular vote, Democrats -400. Big favorites in that. One more election question for Drew on the other side that I'm curious about. And then we'll talk NFL week 10. See what he's bet already on election day 2024. I find all this stuff fascinating. We'll come back on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Betting on sports can be hard, but hiring Morgan & Morgan is easy. Morgan & Morgan is America's largest injury law firm. They have over 100 offices nationwide and more than 1,000 lawyers. Their fee is free unless they win. For more information, go to forthepeople.com/bestbets or dial #law, #529 from your cell phone. That's forthepeople.com/bestbets. This is a paid advertisement.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. Every ticket is in, we appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. It is Kelly Bidlin. I want to thank everybody for all of the lovely tweets that you sent yesterday. There have been hundreds since my mom passed. I am going to respond to all of them. I started doing it yesterday. But there's hundreds of them, so I'm going to take the week to do it. I can't thank you guys enough. Super grateful. We do get tweets at Beating the Book, by the way, still to come this hour. Mac Verstandig talking election betting with us. We'll also, of course, have Paul Carr talking Champions League. Will Hill standing by. But we do get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback, the non-my-mom category here. Let us begin with, this is from Joey. This is from RB Treff, Bob C137, talking about yesterday's show. He said, I have a colonoscopy and endoscopy coming up in a couple weeks. Not looking forward to the prep, obviously, but I love apple juice. There's a glimmer of hope. I've said it before and I'll say it again. The variety of actionable information on this show is never ending. Thank you, Bob C-137.
You know what's one drink I can't pass by and not purchase is one of the you know, the old glass bottles of Martinelli's apple juice.
Oh yeah, little things.
Oh yeah. Whenever I see those anywhere, I'm like, gotta have one of those.
Bob C-137, like a city ordinance. Again, the hack was, again, if you have to go under colonoscopy, the prep is disgusting, but if you buy clear apple juice, you can get away with it. It's allowed. Rich Copro, Gil, I heard the tribute you gave your mom on A Numbers Game. Will you give the eulogy at my funeral? Yes, I am going to start a side business where I just eulogize folks. I'll start a website on that. That's very kind of you, Rich. Thank you so much. This is from A. Brown. Didn't expect to be moved to tears at the end of ANG yesterday. What a story of an amazing life. First woman IDF officer, quote, assistant to the cultural attaché, unquote, scouring post-sports page to bridge the gap with her son. Hail Miriam. If you ever write a book about your mom, I'll be first in line. Thank you, A. Brown. That's very kind of you as well. Really appreciate it. This is Shooter McGamblin. Can't believe they scheduled the election on Maction opening night. That's another thing.
Another thing. That's right. This is what they've been doing. College football's been like, because they've been midweek like the whole year, right? But it's been like Conference USA and Sun Belt, I think.
I just find the...
And now it's the official start of Maction or something?
Yeah, I just find the inability to factor in election night as you're making these things from the beginning pretty interesting. A couple more here. This is from Joby, the real Joby. This is an NBA question. After opening at around minus 180 to win NBA Defensive Player of the Year, Victor Wembanyama's odds have drifted to plus 140 at some major shops. Is now the time to jump into the market, or do you see this drifting further as a Chet Holmgren narrative builds?
Yeah, I would. I would not be firing now. Let this continue to drift. This is a. I mean, look. This is a Spurs defensive problem in general. This is a team defensive issue. Wemby will look better. The team will look better at some point. Right now, though, they are not great. And on the defensive side of the ball as a whole, and you start looking at even an on-off splits with him, they're not very flattering for him, even of when he's on the court versus when he's off the court. I think it's going to continue to drift. I'm not saying it's not a good bet at some point and that it can still come home, but there's no reason to jump in now.
Let me do one more because I want to get to Will. Gil, you nailed it. This is from Trip Tepper. Gil, you nailed it. The biggest factor in the two-point play calculus is this. Who is the opposing quarterback? If it's Mason Rudolph, you could kick the PAT. Mm-hmm. If it's Mahomes, you 100% go for two. You have the game on your racket. Go win the game. I love that expression. Use it all the time. Yes. It's all I really care about. Who am I playing? Do I want to play football against this guy anymore? I do not. Let me go for two. Will Hill joins us now, everybody. He is, he can be found on Twitter at not the Will Hill. Comes to us courtesy of Progressive Guest Line. He is the host of the Should Have Bet More podcast. And of course is a co-star of the Megapod and Chris Felica's Bear Bets Empire podcast empire over there at Fox Sports. Will joins us now. How you doing, man?
Gilly, what's going on? I'm good. It's good to have you back. Always miss the show when you're not on. Todd and I have talked. We're going to let you back on the Megapod this week. So
thank you. Appreciate it. Yeah, it's Todd's podcast. What can you do? Thank you.
He was
for
good
that.
Last week. He was there was a different version of Todd. He was more mellow. He was professional. He played a good point guard last week.
I forgot who tweeted this, so forgive me. But someone, the best comment about it was Todd was, quote, oddly professional, unquote, which I thought was a great comment. So I really appreciate you guys doing it for me. All right. Well, let's talk about, first of all, NFL Week 10. Have you made bets?
I did take the Panthers plus the points just because I don't know that the Giants should be favored by 5 over anyone. And I texted you this. I don't know if you saw this. Can I jump in on the 2-point, the ball stuff? Because sure. I feel like I have a different opinion. I think the correct thing to do was to let the clock run to like 15 seconds, not call timeout, try to score the touchdown, then go for two. But once you screwed it up by calling timeout and scoring with 27 seconds left, I don't know that the 2-point play is automatic because you're just making Mahomes more aggressive. You're putting him in automatic 4-down territory if you do get the 2-point conversion because, like, look what happened. It was 4th-and-1 or 2, and, hey, it's tied. We'll punt. We'll go to overtime. If you're up by one, he's going for it, and he's probably getting it. So once you left him that much time, 27 seconds is a long time. I think the bigger, by far the more egregious mistake is calling the timeout right away. I think like 15 seconds left. Look, you're at the one. Those plays don't take that long. I don't know, 15, 17 seconds left. That's like the sweet spot of when to call timeout. And then you score, and then you go for two. But once you left them that much time, I just think you're making Mahomes more aggressive by going for the two there.
I mentioned both of those gaffes. The first one was the timeout at 30 seconds, which made no sense whatsoever, right? Because Mahomes, I mean, Buffalo Bills fans, stand up. You remember it. Among other Patrick Mahomes miracles late.
That was a thought that crossed my mind as well, Will. Like, oh, man. But all it did, though, was lead me to going back to that makes the timeout that much worse. I still would have gone for it, but that thought was in my head.
Todd Bowles was almost saved, though, because the part we left out is once they kicked the extra point to tie the game, remember, there was the 27 seconds left, so the Chiefs had it in mind to go down, matriculate, get a field goal to win the game in regulation. Mahomes had not one but two passes almost picked in that last sequence. So he almost got bailed out that way, and he did not. But I stand by what I said, which is you don't call the timeout at 30. It's interesting what you're saying is once you do, though, then just kick the extra point so that the Chiefs are more sort of willing to go to overtime kind of thing.
Right.
I think that's an interesting point.
It's almost like, and this will be the last thing, it's almost like, remember in the Super Bowl, the debate of like, do you take the ball? Do you not take the ball if you're the 49ers? And one of the big points was, and I don't think Shanahan did anything wrong. You ideally don't want to put Mahomes in a situation where he has to score and he has all four downs to work with.
Pretty simple to me. What did you say about week 10? You don't have anything week 10? Nothing?
Nothing I love in the NFL. I did take the Panthers plus the five, just because I don't think the Giants should be favored by five over anyone. That should be an exciting game Sunday morning. London, Germany. I don't know if we could just leave both teams. Young actually looked decent last week. I was happy for him. You know, he's obviously, you know, been through a lot. Seems like a decent kid. The league, if anything, needs more quarterbacks. I'm rooting for him to be, you know, a half decent quarterback. I don't know that he'll ever be, you know, worthy of number one pick, but he looked comfortable. He was making plays. He at least saw the glimpses of, like, you know, him, the seeds of him being a decent player. So I do like that. And there's a couple awards I still like.
Okay.
Jonathan Gannon is 20-1 coach of the year at FanDuel. They have five wins. They're in first place. Seems like San Francisco loses on all pro player pretty much every week. They already won head to head against San Francisco. And I think in San Francisco, and if you look at the schedule, home against the Jets, they're a small favorite. They play the Panthers. They play the Patriots. They play the Seahawks twice. If they got to 10 wins and won the division, and let's just say Washington is a wild card, doesn't win the division, I know that would hurt your feelings. Gannon, to me, 20-1. I think he's a good coach. I thought he did a great job last year. I was on their under wins last year. And, man, that team fought tooth and nail every single game. So, to me, 20-1 at FanDuel for Gannon coach of the year is still a pretty good bet. And I was talking about this with Bear. He's on my podcast. It's airing tomorrow. Burrow's on pace for like 40-something touchdowns, just a ridiculous statistical season. He's not going to win enough games to win MVP. He's 100-1 at FanDuel to win Offensive Player of the Year. Could they give him like a little, hey, your team didn't win enough for MVP, but if you're going to throw 42 touchdowns, could he somehow win Offensive Player of the Year? I know that's more of like a that's evolved into who's the best non-quarterback. That was just something that crossed my mind at 100-1.
At 100-1, that's worth a discussion about. Absolutely. Yeah. That's pretty interesting. The Jonathan Gannon thing is very interesting because you're right. The schedule is super easy. They played before this last week, and all three of us, we didn't know what each other's bets were. All three of us on the Megapod had Arizona, and it worked out very splendidly for us, which usually doesn't happen when all three of us are on something. But part of the calculus of that was the Bears had played a really easy schedule and the Cardinals had played a really tough one, and that changes for the Cardinals moving forward. Let me just tell you, though, that Washington destroyed them. I know that's not what you mean by your...
They did.
Yes.
They did.
But your point remains. If Washington were to not win the division, that would take Dan Quinn a notch down, I guess is what you're saying, in that Coach of the Year award market. Anything college football?
I did play under 55 Georgia and Ole Miss. I just think there's a, you know, first of all, Georgia's just not the same offensive team without Bowers, without McConkey. They just haven't replaced those guys. And Beck has just been a turnover machine. I think Georgia probably, they don't want a repeat of Alabama. They may be going to this game a little conservative, run the ball, punt, play defense. And Ole Miss is underrated on defense. And I know they had an explosion this week, but before this week, they had not sniffed 30 points in SEC play. So to me, this is more of a, 24-21, 27-24 type of game. I do like under 55. And a couple quick ones, Kelly, NBA. I've had my eye on the NBA. Are we sure the Milwaukee Bucks at 1-6 are making the playoffs? They're plus 570 to miss the playoffs. Them and Denver are very concerning. Denver, I know they have Jokic. He's still the best player. that's like a G League team around him. So those are two that are on my radar here.
To miss the playoffs,
I've gotten this text so many times in the past 3 days about the Milwaukee Bucks. It's rough. Obviously, the same problems that they had last year, Will, they still exist. You're seeing them, obviously, every night. I mean, the question is some of this, the Giannis trade rumor stuff that's going on, which, it's been going on for 3 years, but it is heating up real quick all of a sudden. So that would be, I would normally say no. If Giannis is still there, they're not going to fall far enough that they'd actually miss the playoffs. But if he's gone, then sure, it's live.
Willie, sorry, not sorry about the Yankees, by the way. I should send that
email. You'd have to go there.
That. Apologize. It's uncalled for. That's what that was. Thank you, Will. Will Hill, everybody. At not the Will Hill on the Twitter machine. Some good awards thoughts in the NFL.
Yeah.
Interesting. We'll come back. Paul Carr on the Champions League coming off a 3-0 Premier League weekend. That's next right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Take your betting to the next level by playing the ponies on First Bet from Santa Anita and Gulfstream Park to the Kentucky Derby and Preakness. First Bet's got you covered. Sign up at firstbet.com. That's the number one, stbet.com. Use promo code VSiN200 to claim a 20% rebate for your first 60 days, up to $200. Head to firstbet.com today. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. This is from Jason McKinney. Let Paul know I appreciate the 3-0. From last weekend, made a soccer parlay because of a soccer parlay boost. Cash in tickets for Jason McKinney. Brian Morianen, Joe Burrow 5-1 for comeback. Maybe split offensive player of the year in comeback since Kirk is going to Kirk soon, he says. Love that. Looking at Denver and at Minnesota. And then Brad Peterson, and thank you for this, Brad. Brad Peterson tweets and he says, if you're betting on the election today, you are a special kind of degenerate, and I salute you. Oh, we're not degenerates. We're just looking for betting opportunities, man. I would argue it's one of the greatest betting opportunities there is. But he says also, if you do want fair and balanced election coverage, VSiN with Gil. These guys only care about one thing, making money. I like the Dems, he says. Take Iowa 4-1, which is one of my bets. Before we get to Mac Verstanek, who is patiently standing by, I just want to say one thing because we brought this up off air. You were talking about commercials, political ads that are driving you crazy. My thing is this. We're about to go into an election booth here in Nevada, and it's a very short ballot, right? And there's only like seven question prop. We in California we call them propositions, right? I don't know what we call them here technically. I consider myself a fairly intelligent human being, but these are the biggest word salads that are designed to confuse you. You could study this for a day and you still wouldn't know which way. In California, Bill Maher brought this up on Real Time this past weekend. When I used to live in California, it was almost like they were purposely worded of, if you bet yes, you're voting for this, but a no means a yes and a no on this. Like it's complete. You take about five different turns before you think you know what you're voting on.
So that was, when did I finally leave Florida? 2016, same thing. That was when sports betting was first put up for a vote there, but they combined it with the dog racing. So it was like, if you wanted to, if you wanted to keep injuring innocent animals, well, then you could have sports betting too. So it's like they twisted it all around, all by design.
Yeah.
So everybody wanted to get rid of the dog racing, which I understand it's tough watching those gray rats.
Remember they messed
up. But you also voted against sports betting.
They messed up sports betting in California because they had two propositions last time. And the general electorate got so sick and tired of both of them and not knowing which was which or what anything meant that it didn't pass. That's part of the reason.
We tried to. I don't think of us much as political leaders, but remember how much we did on that just to try to help clarify it for people?
100%. Mac Verstanek joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Always a pleasure to see him. He's a gaming attorney. He comes to us from Maine, where I believe he's already got his I voted sticker on. How you doing, Mac?
I'm good, Gil. Got down to the polls at 7 a.m. and did my part for the democratic process.
There you go. Okay, so let's just start at the top. What is your sense as to how this goes today vis-a-vis sort of the polling that has been out there?
This is exactly as cliche as the media has made it out to be. It's going to be one of the tightest races of our lifetime. And from a betting point of view, that means anything you see with a positive number that's not in an insane state probably has value as the day goes on.
Give me a sense of what is not an insane state that might have previously been considered as that. I'll give you an example. I ended up betting Kamala in Iowa at 4-1. Is that possibly in play?
That is possibly in play. So Iowa's sort of a wild story. It was not very polled because no one thought Iowa would be in play in this election. It's a safe Republican state. There was one poll a couple of months ago. It showed Trump winning by a handful of points. Everyone moved on. And then the Des Moines Register, which is the newspaper of record in Iowa, drops a poll a few days ago that has Harris up 3%. And there are some weird things going on in Iowa. When you're talking about 3%, you start getting into the margins. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is still on the ballot in Iowa. He's going to take about 3 to 4% of the vote. And those are almost uniformly people who would have otherwise voted for Donald Trump. There's also on the counter side a little bit of Democratic anger over the Democratic Party ditching Iowa's caucuses as the first in the nation voting event. But I suspect they've moved past that. And at 4-1, I think there's a lot of good value on Kamala Harris taking Iowa and that being the surprise state this year.
Is there another one out there that's even more of a surprise? I'm curious.
I don't think there's anything that's going to be a bigger surprise, but there is some value to be found starting in our beloved Nevada. Harris is plus 125. That's not a great number, but Nevada's probably a toss-up, if not leaning slightly Democratic. The unions are better organized in Nevada. Plus, Nevada's a great bet to make because you get to sweat it out. Nevada's like the ultimate hold-all-ticket state because you're going to see returns come in, and then you're going to see the rural counties come in slowly and slowly and slowly over the next few days. But I think there's some value there.
What's the, you know, all bettors are always curious, but the thing that we talked about earlier and that we've been plagued by before with betting an election is that then, you know, the electoral college or the recount or doesn't get decided for, you know, almost a month in some cases. We even had a couple examples of it going all the way to January 6th to when it was certified last time. Do you sense that we're going to have a lot of that?
I hope not. Putting it all together, there are a couple of gnarly ways this could play out. There's always sort of the political scientist dream scenario where both candidates get 269 electoral votes and then the House decides. If we end up going down that rabbit hole, you're going to learn an awful lot about one congressional district in Nebraska. But my guess is that the population is going to speak pretty fluidly tonight and tomorrow. And I think we will have a good idea by this time tomorrow as to where things are headed, even if you're not seeing the Associated Press make a formal call for a day or so.
Not to oversimplify this, because I know we talk about swing states and that comes out to seven states, but does it really just come down to Pennsylvania? Like, is it possible for either former President Trump or Vice President Harris to win this without Pennsylvania?
It is possible. And the interesting counterbalance to Pennsylvania is Georgia. Harris is performing fairly well in Georgia. The early voting there leaned more Democratic than I was expecting. There's a woman named Stacey Abrams who lost a really close gubernatorial race in Georgia a couple of cycles ago, who has basically made it her life's work to get out the Democratic vote in and around Atlanta. Looking at Georgia, Harris is plus 190. That should be closer to plus 110, plus 120. Ooh. I think Georgia's really in play. And if she can pick up Georgia, that could be enough to nullify a loss in Pennsylvania and allow things to move forward that way. What's interesting, though, is Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin normally vote as a block. And there is no way for either candidate to lose those three states and be elected to the presidency. That is just not in the realm of possibility.
So a sweep is Katie bar the door in that those three states. That's interesting. So plus 190, you're not necessarily predicting a win, but you say that number is way off. Is there another state like that where you're sort of like, okay, probably not a win, but the number seems a little off?
Yeah, Michigan. Trump is plus 165. Michigan's going to be razor thin. The union vote there doesn't necessarily follow the suggestions that are given by leadership. It's a very blue-collar state that hews Republican in many ways. There's also, and let me be clear, I cast no judgment on what any of this means, but there are some ethnic-based issues dealing with a very pro-Arab, pro-Palestinian community that feels marginally betrayed by the Biden administration's handling of the war in Israel. If those are people who either choose not to vote for Harris, even if they don't vote for Trump, meaning they stay home, they cast a ballot for Jill Stein, whatever it may be, that could very easily flip Michigan over to Trump. And plus 165 is really a good value there.
It's all this is so fascinating to me. Final question here, Mac. Based on, you know, obviously we're a big country with 3,000 miles, and so the polls will close from East Coast to West Coast. What is the first state where if it goes a certain direction, you would be like, oh, this is a portent of what's about to happen? Like, this is a bellwether that we're going to actually kind of indicate what the results will be.
So the good news is, despite the 3,000 miles, we're going to get three early evening indicators tonight. Pennsylvania and Georgia are both committed to getting their ballots counted before the night is out. Those are going to be bellwethers. And if they don't split, they both go to the same candidate, that candidate's going to win the presidency. The other thing to look for on the early part of the evening is North Carolina. If Trump carries North Carolina, don't read too much into that. But if Harris is super competitive in North Carolina, or even looks to be ahead, that's going to be a very early indicator that she is likely going to be the next president of the United States.
Mac, so great. I appreciate that. That sort of puts everything in context for us. Apolitically speaking, everybody, thank you so much, Mac. Great seeing you.
Great to see you, Gil. Thank you.
Mac Verstandig, everybody, at Mac_Verstandig on Twitter. We'll come back. I buried the headline, Kelly. Election schmelection, as my mom used to say. College football guessing lines next on A Numbers Game right here at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.